Psalm 119. And how would you like us to preach through every verse in Psalm 119? Yeah, I like someone's there with me. Won't have time to do that, but we are going to go the first 16 verses today. And the title of the message is, Do It Right the First Time. Do it right the first time. How many of you have ever pulled out a new product that you've purchased and you take it out of the box or out of the crate, and in there you find a sheet of instructions? Now, what do we do with those instructions? Well, some people are going with sling it over your shoulder, and that's a last resort, you know. So we take it and we put it all together and we come up with one piece and go like, ah, that's not all that important. It's little. All right? And you take that and, oh, someone threw that too. But as you get and you try to fire it up, and guess what? It doesn't work. So you're going like, now, what do I do? So when all else fails, read the instructions. And we dig it out and it says, probably on the first page, do not throw away the piece you just threw away. And so you're digging and you finally find it and you say, oh, here it is. Now what? Well, it goes right in the middle of it all. You got to take it all back apart, put it in, and then put it all back together. That happens all the time. But you know what? When we have our daily lives, it's the same way. The only thing is you can't go back and take your life apart and start over. I mean, how many of us would like to go and start over and do some things differently than we've done? You know, I'm sure that everybody here that's experienced much of life has done some things they wish they could redo. But you know, it just can't be. So wouldn't it be better if we could just do it right the first time? And so that's the challenge today. I'm going to talk about Daniel. I like Daniel. Don't you like Daniel? Remember the man that the lions couldn't eat? And remember, why was that? Well, the biblical answer was, you know, because God was with him. And that is true. But I like to say it this way. They couldn't eat him because he was all backbone. You know, he had a backbone that just didn't quit for the Lord. And that was something that we need to follow. But let's read Psalm 119, verses 1 through 16. This is written by the psalmist. And by the way, Daniel, I'm sure, had read this. And this probably shaped Daniel's life. And so as we read it, this, think of it in line of Daniel's life and of yours. It said, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly. Now letter B. You know, these are letters of an alphabet. And so this is written. So here comes the second part. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Heard those verses before? And then he goes on, he said, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of thy youth, or of thy mouth, I'm sorry. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Great passage here. And it's a challenge to young people. It's a challenge to you when you have your whole life in front of you and how to use it in the best manner possible. However, if you've already used your life, you're going to probably in this message say, you know, I wish I had done something differently. You can't go back and redo it, but what can you do? You can start from today forward and go on and use your life the best that it can be used for the Lord. So, like I said, a few weeks ago we heard the message on Too Tough to Chew. The life about Daniel and how he loved the Lord. We learned that he was a man with backbone. We learned that he was a man who put God first. We learned that he was a man who wouldn't compromise. And because of this, he earned great respect. We learned that he was a man who, in the face of death, did that which was right no matter what. And you know, that's something that's really big in your walk with God. You always choose to do right in every circumstance, easy or hard. You know, sometimes when things are really hard, we actually do think things through a little bit more. But sometimes when life is really easy, we think it's no big deal to make bad decisions here and there because, well, what's one little bad decision going to hurt, right? But God wants us to always make the best decision. So, in the verses 1 through 8, I found here as I was studying this, I was just praying, Lord, this seems to be the passage you want us to look at on Sunday. Can we get out of this that you would have me to preach to the people that would challenge their hearts and stir them for you? What practical truths can we learn? And so he had me write out this message, and so then I restudied it this morning, and boy, did he preach at me. It's amazing. I knew that the Lord had given this message, and when I read it and reviewed it, there's a lot to be said for us. And so what was it in the first 8 verses here that God had challenged his people to do that Daniel had read that made a difference? And so here they are. I want you to notice, though, as God described the lives of Daniel. And by the way, Daniel had some friends. Anybody remember their names? Who are Daniel's 3 friends? Hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Or Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, right? And that's the names I'll refer to because that was their Jewish names. And those names had godly meanings. The other names had pagan meanings. They were directly contrary to the biblical wording that they had received. It's quite interesting. And what Nebuchadnezzar and the people were trying to do was get them to speak less of their God and more in the beliefs of the pagan gods that they had. Matter of fact, Daniel's name, Belteshazzar, reflected that also. So, here we see these men. What were these men? Well, first of all, in verse 1 and 2, you see a word that is used twice. Now, a lot of times I like to look at it this way. If God's repeating himself, it must be important, right? I mean, if I'm a parent and I have to repeat myself to my kids, it's usually important, right? And so what is the word that's repeated there? The word's blessed, right? Blessed. It first says, blessed are the undefiled, and blessed are they that keep his testimonies. It's used twice. So I ask this question. Was Daniel and Hananiah and Azariah and Mishael blessed? Were they blessed for their following God? Now, I'm seeing people saying yes. And I agree with you. And they were blessed. The Bible says they would be blessed, and they were. But I want to show you that sometimes blessings come in a different form than what we would expect them to. Now, how many of you have ever had expectations about what should happen in your life? You know, maybe those expectations are your plans for tomorrow or for next week. Maybe you plan on going as a family on a vacation. Now, that would be a nice plan. We've had some that just come back, and they're probably happy to get home so they can rest. That's usually what happens. But, you know, we had a family, a pastor family friend of ours, that planned a vacation right after camp. And on their way to the vacation, they were traveling in 2 vehicles, a large family, and one of the cars went off the road, rolled over, broke the collarbone, gave concussion, broke lots of problems. Guess what happened to their plans? Their vacation ended up being in a hospital, in the trauma ward. You know, our plans can change. And you know what? Those people might say, life is terrible. God has deserted us. So, if I look at the life of Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego here, as you might know them, I stop and say, were they really blessed? What were the outlooks on this? Well, one might, first of all, argue and say, wait a minute. How blessed really were they? I mean, here they come from a home in Israel where everything is taken care of, and now they are taken captive. Now, how many of you would feel blessed if you were yanked out of your home, out of your country, taken overseas, and made a slave? Even though they were going to learn the wisdom and all of the Chaldeans and the language, they weren't free to do what they wanted. How many of you would feel that that was a blessing? To be ripped out of your home and from your friends and the works. Okay. So some would say, you know what? They were taken captive. They lost their home. They were yanked out of their country. They lost their mother and father. You know what? Their mom and dad may have been killed. Who knows? Because they were taken after they were besieged by King Nebuchadnezzar. Some people lost their lives in that. So we don't know about his family, what they lost. And so people would say today, you know what? I'm not so sure that Daniel is really being blessed here. If you look at the circumstances, it seems like he's going through a pretty low spot in his life. And what I'm trying to say here is, you know what? We all experience that. So should we say that God has deserted us and we're not being blessed? We need to be very careful in this because we might have to look further on. Well, someone else might say this. Yeah, but if you read just a little bit further, it says that the king was giving him his food. He was giving him a portion of his food and of his wine. So now they are blessed. They're getting a portion of the king's himself's food. Now, that would be the world's way of looking at it. Wow, look what he's getting. You know, he gets to eat what the king eats. But is that really a blessing? Well, both of these things are going in a negative direction, as we would see them, for Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because if they partake of this king's meat and this wine, it's going to cause them to, what? Break the laws of their God. So now these young men are faced with a decision. Should we do what God wants us to do, or should we do what the king wants us to do? And now that makes another decision. Because if you go against the will of a king, what happens? You go up to the king and say, King, I don't want your crummy food. And he goes like, oh, well, I'm sorry. Make them whatever they want. Doesn't work quite that way, does it? Now, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, would never have said, we don't want your crummy food. Why wouldn't they say that? Because they had respect. Because they were godly. The Bible says that they went through proper channels and they petitioned. In other words, they did it the right way. But nonetheless, they're in a predicament. They tell the king they don't want his food or they can't eat his food. And he's going to go, well, why not? Well, if you don't want to eat my food, you don't need to eat anything. You know, it could have been pretty serious. And so here we are. Has God forsaken them? Anybody know Romans 8:28? How many have ever heard that verse? I'm sure you've heard it a million times. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Does that mean that everything in my life is going to be happy? I mean, smooth sailing? No, it means that some things are going to be hard, but God has a plan through it all, and it's going to work out for the best. So, are you willing to go through those low spots for God to be able to use you greatly? Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael had made a commitment, and they said, we're going to serve God. That's what it says there. They were blessed because they were undefiled and they kept His testimonies. You see there, they decided to do what God said. So, the question came up first of all. Were they really blessed? Look, they've lost their home, their country, their freedom. Are they really blessed? Well, maybe they were. They get to eat the king's food. You ever heard that little saying, oh, that's good? And then someone says, oh, no, that's bad. And they go like, oh, that is bad. No, that's good. You ever see that little game? That used to be real popular years and years ago. Well, that's what's happening here. You know, you look at it from one point, oh, that's bad, but then, oh, that's good, but no, that's bad. So that's where we're left right now. Let's move along. So, here's what a lot of people would say when they were put into a situation like this out of their control, and now they have to make a major decision like this that is actually in jeopardy of their life. And what would you say? Which one of these would be you? Daniel, Hananiah, and Azariah, and Mishael could have said this. Well, everybody else is doing it, so it must be okay. Could they have said that? You know, he says, eat the king's meat, but God doesn't want us to. But, oh, well, they're eating it because they weren't the only Jewish people there. Were others eating? Do you see anybody else petitioning the king? No. So they could have said, everybody else is doing it. If we gauge what's right for God by what everybody else is doing, we're going to be in trouble. And we're going to have to go back and redo our life, right? If we want to do it right the first time, we just need to do what God says. Now, here's another one. Well, you know, God put me here, right? And so He understands. So, I'll be fine doing it just this once. Isn't that another way we could justify doing what we shouldn't do? Because it's easier that way. Here's something that I put down and thought someone else might think. Well, you know, I don't have a choice. My authority says I must do it, so I have to. All right, here's another one. Well, I'm in a strange country, and who's going to know? That's a real common one, right? Who's here? Who's going to tell? And I put down here another one. Well, you know, it's really not such a big deal. After all, it's Mom and Dad's rule and not mine. Have you ever thought that one? Now, here's one I challenge you, young people, because there was a time in my life, and there's going to be one in yours, where you're going to realize Mom and Dad's not there anymore. There's going to be a time where you're going to make your decision. And you know what? A lot of young people go through life content to make the decision that maybe Mom and Dad make or the church makes or whatever. But there's going to come a time that says, well, why do you believe that? And it's going to sound pretty weird when you say, well, my pastor told me to. Or to say, Mom and Dad told me to. You're going like, well, you're a man, or you're a woman. Why are you worrying about what they tell you to do? What do you want to do? And you will come to that point in your life. So now what are you going to do? Do you know God's Word well enough so that you can say, no, this is what I'm going to do because I know it's right to do. I'm going to do this because this is what I need to do. That is a challenge. And the sooner you find that, the more mature you are. Because I challenge you this, the devil's going to throw that at you. He threw it at me when I was growing up, and I saw him throw it at my kids, and it will come your way. And it's going to sound pretty bad when you say it the first time. Say, well, Mom and Dad don't want me to. And so here they are, Mom and Dad around. So it doesn't matter now, right? Well, why didn't Mom and Dad do it? Because God said not to, so why shouldn't you do it? That makes sense. Did I get every young person on that one? When you get there, remember, Pastor said that that would happen. What are you going to do about it? Well, you got to know your Bible if you're going to do what God wants you to do. Now, let's go on. If God didn't want me to do this, He wouldn't have put me here. I've heard that one a lot from adults. If God didn't want this in my life, He wouldn't allow me to be here. But do we have choices of where we walk? Can we enter places where God really wouldn't want us to be? So be very careful in that kind of reasoning. Here's another one. Well, look, this has to be a blessing. I mean, I get to eat the king's food. So that's God's gift to me. Think about that one for a minute. Is it really a blessing when it goes against what God says to do? No. God doesn't bless you with rewards that are contrary to what He says we should do. That's free. All right? And here's the last one. God has deserted me, so why even try? Now, this one will hit you a lot of times in your life. You know what? Where is God? It just seems like He's nowhere around. I mean, He must have deserted me on this one. So I guess I'm on my own. I guess it really doesn't matter much. Let me challenge you not to dwell there very long. Let me challenge you to get back quick with the Lord. Because the devil is getting you to question God, and whenever we do that, we're in danger place. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So get back close to God. God has a purpose in your life. We just need to know what it is, and He's working it out. And if there's something here that you are in pressure about, you need God's help on this one. So what did Daniel do? Remember what Daniel did when they were in this situation? He went to his Christian friends. He went to Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael and said to them, he said, we've got to pray. Didn't he? He didn't say, we've got to find a scheme. We've got to scheme a plan. You know what he said? God's got a plan. And I want you to realize that. God's got a plan. I don't know what it is. Let's go to God and pray. And I'm going to act upon what God has laid on my heart. And we'll just see how God leads. Now, how many of you would want to trade the king's meat for beans? Pulse. I really don't care for pulse. It sounds bad right off. Pulse. You know? It doesn't sound flavorful like apple pie and, you name it, steak, rare, you know, and all those things. What does it sound like? Pulse. We'll have pulse and water. Yeah. But you know what? He was safe in that one. And so let's go with it. Oh, wow. So he made the right choice. So we see here, they were blessed. Why? Because they did that which was right. Was it easy? Did it look like they were blessed at first? No, but what was the outcome? If you want to see the where they were truly blessed, if you find in your Bible really quickly Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, so it's towards the New Testament from where you are. In Daniel chapter 1, we find this account of Daniel and these men. And in Daniel chapter 1, verses 17 through 21, it says this. They went and petitioned the king. They had prayed. They were given pulse to eat, but they had to stand before the king to see whether or not they were healthy or not. And if it wasn't, they weren't healthy, they would be forced to eat that food or else. What did God do? Well, remember, God wasn't asleep. God had a plan. And look at verse 17. It says, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, at the end of the days, if the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them, get this, 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. They had more wisdom, 10 times more wisdom than his adult advisors. Where did they get that from? They got that from God, because remember, God's never on plan B. How do you know God wasn't on plan B? Well, look here in verse 8. All right, of the same chapter. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You know, if I go on further here, we see that he was undefiled in the way. He said, I have purposed in my life already not to follow sin. So first of all, Daniel had a plan for his life. And young people and adults, if you're going to succeed for God and be blessed above all others, you have to purpose that God's number one above everything else. But now we say, well, did God have a plan in all this, or had he deserted them? Look at verse 9. It says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. God had been working before this event even happened. Did you see that? God had already put Daniel in favor with the one he would need to petition in order to be granted permission to not have to partake in the sin. The Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with that temptation also make a what? A way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. You see, God knew Daniel was coming to this point of testing. God had already been working out all the details. So when Daniel turned to God, everything was in place. Did Daniel know all these things were in place? No. He couldn't see that. But he saw it when he followed God. That's what living by faith is all about. And that's what Daniel and his friends did here. And so they were undefiled. In other words, they chose to do right, and no matter what. And of course, God already had a plan. Another thing here that you might question about whether their lives were so blessed or not, because you notice that they're eunuchs. And that's not a wonderful thing probably for them in their life either. So just some things in the trials that they went through. Well, let's go on here. It says here in Psalm chapter 119, it says, blessed are they that walk in his ways. They do not iniquity, but walk in his ways. What's it mean to walk in the way of the Lord? Okay, I'm just wanting you to think for a second here, and I'll give you the answer, of course. It means to live like God wants you to live. And by the way, does God have a plan? Does he have a will for your life? And a lot of people say to me this, Pastor, I don't know what God's will is for my life. I ask them this, do you know anything that is God's will for your life? Well, he wants me to do this, and he wants me to read my Bible. Okay, are you doing those? Because you know what? If you're praying, you know God wants you to do that, right? We know he wants us to study his word and to be thankful. So those are God's will for our lives, and to rejoice in him. If you're doing that, guess what God's going to do? He's going to show you many other things from his word that are going to please him and that are his will for you. I've got to move quickly along here. But let's look at some of the things here. He says, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Anybody know what a precept is? The reason I'm asking you this is because when I read through here, I didn't know what a precept was. Now, this is back when I first studied this passage. But I wrote it down in my Bible because I have a tendency to forget some of these words. We don't go around saying, how are your precepts? And you're like, is that something like here on my arm? No, that's a bicep. What's a precept? All right, what is a precept? Well, a precept is a rule for personal conduct. Okay, this is a rule for your activity through the day. This is what God wants for you to do. You see, God does have specific things for you to do. And so he says, you know what? Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts. Now, if God commands you to do something, it's this, right? If your coach comes up to you in basketball or football, and he says, okay, guys, here's the game plan. Now, do you guys have different game plans? You know, and they're coded, and he tells you what, and you already know the play? Does he do that? And okay, so what would they plan B, or how do they list them? Give me one. Okay, well, that's all right. I'm going to put you on the spot. All right, so let's say he's got them. This is plan A, this is plan B, this is plan C, whatever. He calls you over there, let's go plan B. Everybody goes out and you say, you know what, coach? I really don't think plan B is the best right now. You know, we're right at the end of the game. If we blow this, we lose it. And in my opinion, Plan C is going to work better, so I'm doing Plan C. What do you think is going to happen? Everybody does Plan B, and you do Plan C.
You're going to be out of place.
Huh?
You're going to be out of place.
Yeah, you're probably going to get run over, trampled, and not to mention the coach is going to be upset, and you might blow the game. So what's the point? Well, God has a plan for our life, specifically for you. And if we reject that and do our own thing, what's going to happen? We're going to end up disappointed. So if we're going to do things right the first time, we need to really seek what His will is for me today. And it's a command, not an option. Coaches don't go around giving options. Okay, if you guys want to go out there and do Plan B, let's do Plan B. All the guys go, no, coach, we don't like it. Okay, well, decide among yourselves real quick here and let me know what play you want. Doesn't work that way. But we treat God like that all the time. No, God's commands are His commands. Going on here, verse 5 talks about we need to do what God has planned for us. He wants us to do His statutes. That's positive commands for conduct from a supreme authority. In other words, these are good things that you can do. All right? So Daniel, he purposed in his heart. We saw all those things. He made the right choice the first time. So, now the message, of course, doing it right the first time. I stopped and thought about this. Maybe the Lord brought this to mind. But if there were other people who were Jews there, and Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael were the only ones who didn't partake of the king's meat and his wine, do you suppose there were some Jews there who did? What do you think those Jews who disobeyed God and followed the king's orders because everybody else was doing it thought when they saw how well God had blessed Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael? Do you suppose some of them might have said, I wished I had done that too? There's always those who don't follow God and look at those who do and wished they had made a different choice. And, you know, I think about that a lot. Here they are going, you know, I sure wished I'd joined Daniel, but could they go back and redo it? It's too late. Missed opportunities are lost opportunities. Opportunities come through times of hardship. So let me go on in the last sentence here, or the last section, verses 9 through 16. Not only were Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael blessed, they were young. All right? Can young people live for God? How old do you have to be before you can serve God? Anybody here, tell me what age you have to be to serve God. 30? 40? It's got to be born. You got to be able to do something for God. And that's all there is. And you know what? Some people can't even do anything physically, but they still do things for God. You think of the lady that wrote many of the songs in our hymn book, Fanny Crosby. Couldn't see due to a mistake of a doctor, quote unquote, whatever, who filled in for the regular doctor. I guess they put something into her eyes that was supposed to be a cure that made her go blind. And for all of her life, she could have went around and moped and whined about how life wasn't fair and how God had deserted her. But where did she find her strength? Look at her songs. And, you know, she found her strength in the Lord, and she rejoiced. And she's been a blessing to us. How many of you enjoy singing the songs that she's written? Why? Because they came from the heart. What God is saying here is, you know what? You're never too young to serve God, but you can be disappointed that you waited until you were older to serve God. And so don't waste that time. So young. I was thinking about the Apostle Paul. He talked to a young man named Timothy. And you know what he said? Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. And it goes on talking about spiritual matters. We're to be an example in spiritual matters. You're not too young. Here's what the devil will tell you. If you're a kid. Now what's a kid? Well, I don't know. You know, you're not a teenager yet, so maybe we consider it a preteen. Can you serve God? Well, there's not much I can do for God. Is there something that young people can do for God? You know, I could ask you kids today, what is something God wants you to do when you're younger? You know, I told my dad one day, I said, Dad, I'm too young to serve God. I don't like it. He said, really? I probably shocked him. I said, yeah, what can I do for God? He said, you can obey your parents. I said, that's what I thought. I can do stuff for you guys, but I can't do anything for God. He said, no, you can obey your parents. I said, Dad, I got that. But what can I do for God? Do you realize, he said, that when you obey your parents, you're obeying God? What? Are you kidding me? And he showed me from the Bible, and I realized it sunk in. When I obey my parents, that is God's command for me when I'm younger. So then I got a little older, and I said, Dad, you know, I sure would be happy if I had a job. Now he said again, you do have a job. I said, I do? No, I don't. I'm here at home. I don't have a job. He said, yes, God's given you a job. And your job is school. I'm going like, because I hated school. I want to be out of school and have a job, right? You know, how many of you, don't raise your hand, but a lot of us young men, we get tired of sitting in the classroom. Give me some hands-on stuff. You know, let's get out and have some fun. But you know what? You need some learning and some knowledge. You need to learn those books so you can do the hands-on. And I had a friend tell me one time that he was having some struggles raising a son of his, and he wanted to always daydream and look out the window during class. You ever want to do that? I did. I daydreamed all the time. Then teacher would say, Mr. Pepley or Corey, what's the answer? And I'm going like, what was the question? You know, what was I doing? I was distracted, daydreaming. And so he was wanting to do things, and he was doing very poorly in his grades. So he took him out, and being a farming community, he took him out and he said, son, how much grain's in that pile? Well, I don't know. He said, well, let's figure it out. And so he got out the paper and pencil, and they did the math, and boom, they figured out how many bushels were in the pile. Wow, how'd you do that? We used math, geometry. Wow, you mean to tell me it has some value? Yeah, it does. You can actually apply it. Guess what? His grades went zoop. Because why? He realized that he has a job to do, and that job is to prepare for the future in the next plan that God has for you. You know what? Joseph was in prison, remember? God was preparing for him to be a ruler of the whole nation of Egypt. Daniel, he was going through hard times. What was God doing? He was preparing him to actually be second in command of all of Babylon. See, God is preparing you, so young person, don't let the devil tell you you're worthless or wasting your or to talk you into wasting your time. Get prepared, learn your academics so that you're very successful in the work that God has for you. And know your Bible too, by the way, because Daniel learned his Bible. Do you suppose that Daniel, when he got to Babylon, said, ooh, this is bad. I wonder what God says about eating the king's meat and drink. I better go study my Bible and see if it's wrong. He already knew. You know what? If you wait until the time of event, you may not even know. But if you know God's Word and time of event comes along, you'll know what's right and what's wrong. You've got to know God's Word. Now, I've given a lot to you young people. There's a lot here in God's Word because it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? If you are a young person, I challenge you. Will you make a commitment today that you're going to serve God? Can I get you young people challenged to say, I make a commitment to live for God? I'm not going to follow people. I'm going to follow God. Can I get you to make that decision? That's a huge challenge, but I'm challenging you young people to do that. If you say that, here is a question that comes to you that will help you. Look at verse 9. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How do I succeed like Daniel, Mishael, Hananiah, and Azariah? How can I do this? Now, if you don't care about God and you don't make this commitment, it's not going to help you. But if you're one of the people here that really wants to be something special for God, here's what's required, okay? So how do I do it? It says this, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. That's the first statement that I want you to know here. Will you dare to be a Daniel? Daniel made a commitment to be special for God. He said, I'm going to trust God that He can do more with my life than I can. I'm going to turn my life over to Him. And Daniel said, I'm going to start today. And what Daniel did is in verse 9 here, it says, how are you going to do it? By taking heed according to thy word. He knew God's word. How do you know that Daniel knew God's word? Because as you read about him and his life, not only did he know God's word when he got into that first situation, he studied it daily, he meditated into it, and he fasted and prayed. And the Bible says when he prayed where? Towards Jerusalem, 3 times a day. Where did he find that from? That's what King Solomon said they should do if they were ever taken into captivity because of their sin. Daniel knew his Bible. How did Daniel know his Bible? Did his parents force him to learn it? They weren't there anymore. Probably had good parents, though, that had him and said, no, get in there and do your studies, but he had to learn it. So, moving along, he knew his Bible. What's the second thing that's so important? And by the way, if your parents didn't make you read your Bible, how much would you read it? And so I ask you this question, how much do you study your Bible? And that's a good question for everybody. Really, literally, how much time do you spend seriously studying God's Word? If this is actually God's Word to us, when we stand before Him someday and He says, well, how much did you study my Word? What are you going to say? Well, I was too busy. I don't think we want to say that, do we? God's help is in here. I'm trying to throw this out there because it's something that will really change your life. Secondly, not only did he study God's Word, but it says here, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. I got just 4 minutes here, so we'll be wrapping it up. But if I know God's Word, what's the second thing I need to do? I need to have a heart for God. Do you really care about God? Or do you care about yourself? Now you say, what's that got to do with an ink master? Well, the Bible says to the young people, he warns them about following after youthful lusts. Do you know why God warned them of that in the New Testament? Because that's natural for us. You know what I liked to do when I was young? I liked to race cars. I liked to ride motorcycles. I liked to do things that were exciting, right? And the philosophy at your younger age is you're indestructible, right? Nothing can hurt me. Let's go out and have some adventure. To me, a blizzard was a challenge. Give me a blizzard. I want to see if I can make it. So I'd set out in the worst of blizzards just to see if I could get there, right? It's a challenge. In our youth, we just go for that stuff. Well, anyway. But what are we supposed to do with our young lives? Can we have a challenge? Sure. But who's first in our challenges? God is. My heart's desire is to live for God. Does God keep you from having any challenges in life? No way. He'll help you succeed and use that to drive and that passion to learn things, to learn great things and do great things for God. How many of you would like to be a Daniel? No, seriously. Think about it. Where he ended up. How many of you would be proud at the end of your life to say, my life was like Daniel's? If he had started at 50, would he have made it? Probably not. Because what? It took a life of preparation for him to have the life that he had. And remember, the other ones who were Jews, who were his same age, who were there, who didn't make that first commitment, they're out of the picture. Why? Because God's using the ones that are going to follow him. So if you want to be used greatly of God, start serving him today. And so have that heart for God. God is my main focus. A wholehearted desire to know God, to please God, and a wholehearted commitment not to wander. You ever heard the song, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love? You adults are aware of that one, right? We love God, but yet we're easily sidetracked. Young people, don't let that happen. Do it right the first time. All right, let me wrap this up. What else did Daniel do? Well, in verse 12, it talks about he followed the statutes of God. In verse 13, it tells here that he talked to his friends about God. And by the way, did Daniel find friends that could pray with him and work with him, that he could encourage and they could encourage him? All through Scripture, you'll find out that godly people who served God at a young age had other godly young people. Now, who would that be? You ever heard of David, King David? And you ever heard of Jonathan? The Bible says that Jonathan went out into the woods, found David when he was being pursued by his father, and he was running for his life, and Jonathan strengthened, it says, David's hand in the Lord. What did he go out there and say? Don't worry, I'll protect you. He said, no, God's with you. So there's the next one. So he talked with his friends and encouraged them in the Lord. Young people, are you encouraging anybody in biblical things? If not, that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to challenge people in what you've learned in the Bible. You know who you can challenge? You say, well, I don't know anybody I can. Challenge your pastor. You say, what? Come up to pastor and say, pastor, guess what I learned in my reading this week? Oh, pastor already knows that. You think pastor's going to make fun of you for telling me what you learned in the Bible? Not a moment. I'm going to be excited, and you're going to encourage me to know that a young person in our church is really seeking to know God. And you know what? You might show me something I hadn't seen. Wouldn't that be neat? And so what God is saying is here, encourage others in the Lord. We saw in verse 14 that they rejoiced in that God had a plan for their life. In verse 15, he said he meditated on the precepts. What's it mean to meditate? I'm going to lose you here. I know this is getting hard. This is a lot of stuff to do. How can one young person remember all this, Pastor? Well, this is what makes you extra special. This makes you a cut above the rest. This is what's going to make you to be what God wants you to be. Daniel wasn't ordinary. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego weren't ordinary. You can be an ordinary kid if you want. But if you want to be something special for God, it's going to take commitment and work. And so here's what Daniel did. He meditated on God's word. In other words, he thought about it through the day, even when he was doing other things. And lastly, verse 16 says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not, get this one, I will not forget thy word. Did you see that? Do you know what the devil's going to do? He's going to sidetrack you, distract you, and try to get you to forget that you're going to be somebody special. He's going to say, ah, what difference does it matter? Do you think Daniel worked hard at being special? Well, he didn't work hard at being special. He worked hard at being what God wanted him to be. God made him special. But do you think it took an everyday commitment to do so? No, after he didn't have to eat the king's meat and he had that victory, from then on he was number one with the king and never had another struggle. Oh, yeah? Can you name some others? Like, remember, in the lion's den? Was that not a struggle? How many of you like to be in there with a bunch of ravening lions? Were they hungry? Yeah, they were, because they ate up the whole family before they hit the ground later on, of the wicked ones. And so, I've done my very best today to share with you young people and adults that God has a special plan for your life. And young people, you can excel and be great for God if you'll make the choice to give Him your whole heart. Will you do that today? That's the challenge. Now, I'm beyond the youth. Can God still use me? I'm 51, right? Just had that terrible birthday, which means over 5 decades old. Over half a century. I am old. But you know what? God challenged me this morning, says, you know what? However many more years you've got, whether it's 2 days, a year, 5 years, are you going to be focused on using your time for me? Or are you going to forget my word? Challenge is there. It's all for you, for everyone here. Do it right the first time. In our older years, can we mess up? Sure. So let's do it right the first time. Let's sing a hymn of invitation. Hymn number 450. It's Living for Jesus. And if God spoke to your heart, won't you just, maybe in the pew where you're at, or maybe you want to come forward, but pray and say, Lord, take my life. I give it to you. I surrender my life to you today. Let's stand and sing Living for Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for coming, and I trust